Welcome to a very special episode of Kid Commentaries. I'm your host, Drew Gretsch, and it's been a long time. It's been a long time since I've done an episode. Just got busy. Very sorry about that. We're going to be doing episodes pretty sporadically now, I guess. It's going to be more just big releases. We are going to go through and do the last four episodes of season two. I'm going to record those, put those out on the feed eventually. Probably just like before next big parts of those franchises come out. So like it'll be, I'm going to do Iron Man 3 before the release of Shang-Chi, as that's a movie that's going to heavily relate back to Iron Man 3. I'll do Clone Wars also, just because there's not another Star Wars for like 2 years. And I'll do the two Fantastic Beasts movies before that third film comes out next July. So I think that's the plan for what we're going to do right now. If this is your first time listening, welcome. Welcome. Hope you guys all love Black Widow. We are, of course, using Disney Plus to watch this movie. Yeah, I did see it in theaters. But essentially what this is going to be, this is going to be a commentary track. So you're going to listen to this alongside yourself watching the movie, is the idea. So I've actually got the movie all set up right now. I got my subtitles on. I have the counter all the way rewinded all the way to 0000. So all the way at the back, the movie's paused. It's paused. So if you guys want to just pause the show, pause the podcast until you can get there for Black Widow. It's also going to be this is also going to be easy if you cannot watch Black Widow. So, I mean, and the movie's also in theaters. So I think it'll work for that also. So I'm going to just say, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to count down from three and just say go. And if you're watching Disney Plus, you're going to hit play on Disney Plus. All right. If you're going to see this in a theater, you're going to pause the podcast until the movie actually starts in the theater. You can have this podcast in your ears while you are watching the movie in a theater. It'll work either way. So I'm just going to count down from three and say go. Yeah, so count down from three now. This is your last chance to get it ready to pause or play the movie on Disney Plus. So 3, 2, 1, go. Dramatic music playing. We've been seeing this intro now for about 5 years with Marvel. I think we'll be getting a new one soon. I was so surprised just like seeing this intro for every episode of the Disney Plus shows. I really thought it was going to be more of just like for the premiere we'd be seeing this, and we'd be seeing like the older Marvel television intro for subsequent episodes. But I really loved seeing the intro each week and just seeing it this past Thursday night, just seeing it on a big screen. It was so cool. I love seeing this movie in theaters. This movie was delayed so many times. It was supposed to come out back in May of 2020. And then just kept getting pushed back. It's finally out. This movie's finally out, guys. I'm so happy about that. So this is, of course, this is Ohio 1995. I actually think this is a movie that really just feels like it's a continuation of the events of Civil War in just so many ways. The themes are very similar. Of course, you have this continuing storyline of Natasha's journey in between these two films. And, like, the location logos, like, whenever we get to a new location, it's the exact same way that they revealed those in Civil War, which is a way that they didn't even, it wasn't even consistent between Infinity War and Endgame. If you look at the stuff that was, like, space, Infinity War, and then if you look at, like, Asgard 2013 and Endgame, it's very different. And here are these two young actresses playing Natasha and Yelena. It's my eighth time seeing this movie, and I absolutely love it. I absolutely love this film. So right here, and this is just something you notice, Yelena falls and scratches her knee. Now, later in the movie, it's revealed, like, Dreykov has a tracker in her knee. It's the same knee, I think. It's just like, how long was that? Yeah, it is the same. It is the same. Like, how long was that tracker inside of her? And you can see like the fear on Natasha's face in that moment. You can see the fear there. Thought they did an outstanding job, just de-aging Rachel Weisz as Melina and David Harbour as Alexei in this first sequence of the film. And I do just love now, like, these, it's finally a truly interconnected universe. Finally, it's interconnected. And this actress, her name is, just pull up the IMDb here real quick. This actress's name is Ever Anderson. She is the daughter of Mila Jovanovich, I think. That is her name, right? Mila Jovovich. I don't know. That's why you do your research, guys. He looks just like Hopper here. He looks just like Hopper in Stranger Things. Remember all the theories, like, this was going to be a continuation of Stranger Things? Actually, this dinner table setup is the same way it is in the family reunion scene about halfway through the movie. It's the exact same setup. Because you got Yelena on to the right of Melina. Melina's right. You have Alexei as the head. And then to the left of Alexei, across from Melina, is Natasha. So I think this movie that, like, has beautiful symmetry. This movie has absolutely beautiful symmetry. It's a film that really, I feel, only gets better as it continues. Like, as you keep rewatching this movie. This movie, for me, it's already my number 7 MCU film. Already. And yeah, and just seeing this fear on this young actress's face is just absolutely amazing. She's doing a great job in that role. I think that she's also been in a few episodes of The Walking Dead. And that's all I've seen her in. I wondered who was after, first time seeing this on Thursday night, I was really wondering, like, who was after his family. Because, like, I feel like we all... Oh, but by the way, just... This is a commentary track. I'm talking full spoilers for at least Black Widow, definitely the other movies, and maybe even Falcon and Winter Soldier. Might get into some WandaVision stuff. So, of course, it's the same writer, Jack Schaefer, who had the... who has a story credit for Black Widow, was the head writer on WandaVision. But I was wondering who was after this family, just because we didn't know if it was, we did not know if this was, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. was after them, which of course they are. If it was Dracov and Taskmaster, because at the time, of course, we thought that Taskmaster was more of like a Winter Soldier, not necessarily being Antonia. I was not expecting them to be on a mission, honestly. I thought they were just like, they ran and they were just trying to do the right thing. And I honestly don't really feel like Alexei and Melina really get the redemptive story arcs that director Kate Shortland thinks that they do. I think that part of that's just, this is a movie, and, like, we're used to having series right now, just between WandaVision, Falcon and Soldier, and the Loki finale this week. Just having all of that together really sort of makes it feel like the character development here is not as much as it could be. And that being said, I feel like for these four main characters, I think they did a great job. And especially because, like, we didn't need to focus. Of course, it's Natasha's movie, but, like, I even feel like Natasha got a ton of character development, more than us just knowing about her past. But that being said, I feel like the main weakness of this movie is the weak villains. Very, very weak villains in this film. This is a script. See, S.H.I.E.L.D. logo. And I'm just wondering, like, when exactly this scene takes place in 1995. Because, you know, of course, what else is happening in 1995 in the MCU? Captain Marvel. So that is something that could be definitely sort of mixing together, I guess. Maybe Fury heard about this and it's like we don't know if they knew who the spies were. Like, if they knew that it was Alexei Shostakov, the Red Guardian. You know, this is right at the beginning of when Fury's trying to put together the Avengers initiative. Now we seem to do at the end of Captain Marvel. So it could be anything, really. Just how this is all interconnected. But this really does feel like a phase. Like, I don't know why this movie... Well, I know exactly why this movie didn't get made until now. Of course, at the time, like... Of course, we knew that there was a Captain Marvel movie coming in 2019. Back when this movie should have come out. In 2016 or 2017. But... I mean, you just if you just look at the other female-led superhero movies, there was Elektra, which is the only Marvel film the only film based upon a Marvel comic I have not seen. And there is Catwoman, which is absolutely awful. I guess also at this point in time when this would have come out, there would have been Suicide Squad, which. Suicide Squad, which had the potential to be great. It wasn't. But, you know. And then Wonder Woman came out, and it was absolutely fantastic. And on paper, a Captain Marvel movie is better than a Black Widow movie. I don't think that's the case. I still love Captain Marvel. I like to love all... everything in the MCU. There is not a single piece of content from Marvel Studios I dislike. And how did that tiny little plane get all the way from Ohio to Cuba? And the thing I want... So yeah, here's the de-aging on Ray Winstone, I think.
Let the Guardian returns.
I think this really could have been, like, the second film in a Black Widow... Or maybe even the third film of a Black Widow trilogy. I feel like maybe they could have done Black Widow movies being sort of, like, prequel films. Where maybe you get the first one after Iron Man 2 about her time at the Red Room and her defection to S.H.I.E.L.D. You get the second movie... after the Winter Soldier, where she's like, I've burned all my identities. I have to figure out a new one. We never really see them. They don't explain it at all here. Unless it's sort of the stuff with Mason. And Mason was a great character. I really love that character in this movie. And you can see right here that Natasha already has this this fight in her. We don't know how long she was at the Red Room. I'd assume she was 4 or 5, so she had anywhere between 2 and 3 years of training before she took this mission, because they said in the audio description, which I always watch just to get notes for the podcast, they said there that she is about 10 years old in this first sequence of the film. Yeah, these effects right here are just absolutely fantastic. So that would be the second movie, and the third movie would just be this. Third film would just be this, and we tease the Red Room at the end of the second film about how they're back. And then, you know, we know that we're getting a Captain America 4 in the next couple years with Anthony Mackie as Sam Wilson. Of course, he's now Captain America, and that's awesome. I loved that suit. I loved the suit, and I'm so glad the character's getting that choice, that opportunity now. So, and then we have, and then, like, maybe a fourth Black Widow would feature sort of set up here at the end with Yelena and all that, finding the other widows. Love this opening credit sequence. I'd heard that they used Smells Like Teen Spirit song. I love this, like, darker version. I love the darker version that they use here. I think it works so well. I've been listening to that song for, like, the last couple days. It's been absolutely fantastic. And I was really scared that, like, they were gonna, like, have this the opening music for, like, the Marvel Studios logo. And I'm like, no. No. It's the first MCU film in over 2 years. And I want the full intro music. But I was very surprised this movie had an opening credit sequence. And just already, just right off the bat, super dark film. Just, I mean, there's been stuff like the racism and the sexism in the MCU before. We saw it a little bit in a couple episodes in The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but it wasn't anything violent in that. There was the bank and the stuff with the cops in the first two episodes. And that was just, like, for me, just, like, seeing these characters, stuff that, like, I really could not relate to. But having, and here's WHIH, the MCU connection. Just, like, seeing these characters that I've literally grown up with, just having to go through that just made it so much more real for me, because I got all I'd ever really heard were just stories from, like, people on Twitter and on the news, and just, like, I could have I had the sympathy for it, didn't have the empathy really until Falcon and Soldier. It felt like I really knew these characters, and I don't want to say understood what it was like, but because I never will know what it's like, but just, I could relate to it in a whole new way. But again, in The Falcon and the Soldier, there was never really any violence toward Sam or his family. Stuff was talked about with Isaiah Bradley, but it was never, like, we never saw that. And I think that scene makes it more powerful because we didn't see it. I think it was so much more powerful because we just heard about it. But here, like, we are seeing, like, actual human trafficking. Like, human trafficking. Like, I've been saying, like, this movie that is, seriously, like, they pushed PG-13 as far as it can possibly go with Black Widow. As far as it will go. We're over 21 years later now. Just after Civil War. Actually, we're still in the timeline of Civil War. We are in the timeline of Civil War through this whole movie. And it's revealed also that, like, so is Black Panther. That Black Widow and Black Panther are, like, still in the timeline of Civil War. Because Black Panther is only a week after Civil War. Well, a week after the death of T'Chaka. Here's Ross. I think that Ross is the one behind Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Her character that we see in Falcon and Soldier and now in Black Widow. And you're just, like, setting the stage for what this movie's going to be. I do think this script was, like, written in 2016 is when the script was definitely written, because this movie feels like Marvel 2016. And that's not a bad thing. No, 2016 we got Civil War and Doctor Strange, two movies I love, and Doctor Strange is actually toward the bottom of my ranking, but I still give the movie like 4 stars. We got Barton, we got Wilson, we got the other guy, the incredible shrinking convict. I love that line. Where are you gonna go? I honestly knew just right here that, I mean, like, as soon as, like, we heard about, as soon as we saw them closing and outside, I'm like, she's somewhere else. She is somewhere else. We're like, we need something at the beginning for casual audiences who, if this is their first MCU movie, they need to see what, just sort of to, even on a small scale, of what Natasha can do. Now, and I really do like that, just, they're not holding your hand anymore. Like, they're just throwing you right into a prequel movie. Like, there's not even anything on the screen that's just like 2016. No, it's just 1995, 21 years later. You're gonna get it, or you're not. And this is a scene right here. This is confusing me. Not a thing that happened in the scene. It's just, when does this scene take place? Its placement in the film makes it seem like it's happening during the events of Civil War. But, you know, you want that modern-day introduction to Natasha that you wouldn't, as, like, the first scene in 2016 in this movie. And, like, you do not have that if this was really the first scene in present day. So, yeah, just doing, so, like, I don't know when this scene takes place, and I want to know when the scene takes place. I really want to. But the action in this movie is absolutely great. Absolutely outstanding. And, like, I know this is a movie that is not really, you know, the movie has a bit, like, too slow of a start for my taste. And I'm not talking about Ohio. Like, someone accused me, like, when I first put out, like, my review tweet for another Marvel podcast, like, on Thursday night, it was, like, after a bit of a slow start, the movie picks up tremendously, and this guy was, like, don't confuse character development for a slow start. Ohioism. Like, no, I wasn't talking about Ohio. I was talking about, like, that, those, like, 20 minutes in between the opening logos and when, or 20 or 30 minutes in between the opening logos and when Natasha and Yelena really sit down for dinner is what I was talking about. But, I mean, I still love this movie, even with the slow start. I honestly feel like the slower start makes the climax better, makes the end of this movie better. And, like, yeah, I would probably put this around, like, mid-tier, like, number 15 or 16 after just my first viewing of this film. But just, like, seeing it, it's my 8th time I've seen this movie. I've rewatched this movie 7 times now. First look at Taskmaster. I don't mind what they did in Taskmaster, mostly just because, like, I mostly just read the comics for character backgrounds and to be prepared for stuff that's going to happen in the movies. But I go into those, like, go into those comics just, like, knowing that, like, not everything is going to be the same. Like, if you, and I understand this is not the comics Taskmaster. I understand that. But it doesn't, it just, it feels like a ripoff of Winter Soldier. The villains do. This is a movie that really just feels a lot like Captain America: The Winter Soldier. It's one of the best. It's the best MCU movie. It's my 3rd favorite. It is the best. But I'm not sure. It's a lot of questions about the writer room that I need to answer. Just this movie does have a couple of plot holes, which I'm willing to overlook. A couple of these plot holes. There's a great introduction to the Mason character, played by O.T. Fagbenley. Passports, interviews, a couple local driver's licenses. Fanny Longbottom. Love that so much. It's a legitimate name. And of course, in the credit scene, you see that Yelena named her dog Fanny. Some of the Avengers getting divorced. This is really also just like trying to like get it through people's heads. Like, this is a movie that's right after Civil War. Now, I love the sign. People who have friends don't call me. I think this could be a character that just sort of is more just like popping up in every few movies or so. Just like showing up from time to time. That could be super cool. Because, I mean, I think this is a character that really has a lot of room to grow. I don't think he's going to be the new Coulson or anything. Like, it seems like, if anything, Valentina's the new Coulson. She's just, like, bringing together the Thunderbolts. Because she has Walker, she has Yelena, Budapest. We now know it's Budapest now. But, yeah, just having... I really think that she's setting up Thunderbolts. Now we'll see her in, we're gonna see her in Hawkeye, we're gonna see her in, and really anything that I feel like has to do with more of, like, the underworld and stuff of the MCU, so, like, Hawkeye, Shang-Chi, maybe, Moon Knight, maybe She-Hulk. And then, maybe Wakanda Forever. Next Black Panther movie next year. Generator, so bad. I think it is funny, just, like, we see throughout this whole movie, just, like, how Mason doesn't seem like he's very good at his job. And then, of course, at the end... It's, you just see that he is actually very good at his job. Gets the Avengers Superjet. In case all else failed, to let us know it was 2016, here is, Cheap Thrills by Sia, I think. Explosion number one. We got our first, I actually really, this one my, I think this was one of my favorite scenes in the movie just because of how cinematic it is with the introduction of Taskmaster. Just like Taskmaster speeding and then he gets his like pulled over by the cops and they see who it is and it's like, alright, you can go. Just because, I mean, like. She looks, I'm sorry, if I ever refer to Taskmaster as he, just because I've been told the trailers that he, and for most of the movie, it's he. Comics, it's he. Although, I mean, I do love the twist at the end of San Antonio. I think that really works for the story. Doesn't mean it's a good character, but I think it works for the story better than anything else would be. Taskmaster mostly mimics Captain America, Steve Rogers. as, you know, it's clear just because of the shield. I wonder if, like, Natasha, and I'm sure that Natasha, like, maybe been trained with some defenses that she would use against the Avengers and stuff, and of course we do see that in Civil War. Maybe she's trying, I don't know, I've not rewatched Civil War in a while, so I might see if she's using some of the same techniques that she used to try and fight Steve. And then, and Natasha maybe was always training for stuff that she could use to take down the Avengers. I don't know, there's just, like, something, like, seeing it in a movie theater, character in a metal suit, we can't see their face. I just think that is something that is, I just love that. I don't know. It looks cinematic. Iron Man move with more of a repulsor blast. Love that. She just like gets up there, cuts the rope, and does the Spider-Man swing. It's awesome. Kicks Natasha off the bridge, and that's, I feel like, where we see that Taskmaster. Oh yeah, you don't mess with her. You don't mess with Taskmaster. But Natasha got the, and this shot, I love this shot. So cinematic. Natasha got the pixie dust. I think it's officially called the red dust, but it's the pixie dust. I think it's a little strange, like, none of these vials broke during the entire movie. Well, I mean, of course they broke, just, like, not in, they just did not break in any pockets or anything, or when someone hit the ground too hard. Just, like, they only break when they're supposed to. we're learning that, well, I mean, I guess we knew that Yelena was Yelena. I honestly think that scene was maybe better. That's the first scene where we are introduced to the Florence Pugh Yelena. If that would be better, maybe during, like, this scene where she's telling Natasha how she got the vials, because that would make more sense, I feel. That's just me. But of course, you also need the stuff with the Taskmaster there. You need to introduce and just set up why she's even going. I think, though, this is honestly a movie that really could have come out on Disney Plus, maybe not in May 2020, but November, absolutely. Like, I feel like if they should just, because, like, look, I love this movie. I love this movie. I love it a lot more than most people love it, but I love Black Widow, and but to me, this is not a movie that would be just, like, need to see this in a theater, other than the fact that this is Marvel. I really think that this is a movie that could have come out on Disney Plus. Not in May, but November, for sure. But, you know, I was saying for a while, like, I mean, if they cannot, like, when it still had that May 7th date for this past year, for May 2021, I'm like, if they, like, they can delay it one more time, I feel, and announce then that's coming on Disney Plus. Like, no later than July. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, this is not Avengers Endgame. This is a Black Widow prequel movie. We're really the only, like, ramifications this is going to have on the MCU is in the Hawkeye series, which is also going to be on Disney+. Like, again, I love this movie. It is not essential. But, you know, I do still love it. I love this movie a lot. I also love this fight here just between Natasha and Yelena just having... And just how we can see these two people with the exact same skill set. It's like fighting each other. I think that works so incredibly well. This movie's actually made a ton of money. This movie's made so much money. Let's head over to Box Office Mojo. See if we can find... All right. Box Office Mojo. Black Widow. I saw this movie in theaters on Thursday night. It was great. So, original release for Black Widow. All releases. Here we go. So, original release. This movie's made $158 million. In theaters, another $60 million on Disney Plus. That, you know, is about $220 million so far. I do think this is a movie that really could, maybe I'd love to see. Maybe just, we know we're getting the Jungle Cruise movie within this month on Disney Plus. I'm going to get that just because I do want them to keep doing this. I really want them to keep doing this Premier Access thing. But at the same time, I kind of don't want to do it just because it's just like, well, if it's Mulan, Cruella, Jungle Cruise, Raya, then people don't bite on Disney Plus. But if they do bite on Disney Plus, it's going to be an MCU movie. Because I do want them to keep doing these movies on Disney Plus. Just because, I mean... This is a movie that I maybe would have seen one or two more times in theaters. Just for the podcast. Like, I would not have gone... I would not have seen... If I did not have the podcast, I would have seen this maybe twice. Killing Dracov with his final defection in... I was the final step in my defection to S.H.I.E.L.D. So we finally get that. We finally get to know what Budapest is. And I also love that this movie really just makes fun of Natasha for not being a quote-unquote real Avenger. It's because she doesn't have abilities. She has a skill set. Same with Clint. Same with Gamora. Same with all those who aren't powered. Dracov's daughter. Love how much, like, the MCU, just, like, summer 2021 is, like, tying back to the first Avengers movie. With Loki being set in 2012. Chronologically after Endgame, but technically after Avengers 1. And getting, you know, this movie. Just so many callbacks and references to the Avengers 1. Because that was something that Loki said to Natasha. When she was interrogating him, he was just like, the hospital fire, Dracov's daughter, your ledger is dripping, it's gushing red. Of course, Alexei does say that to both Natasha and Yelena later on in this movie, just like, your ledgers must be dripping, just gushing red. I think right here we can just see how powerful Yelena is. I don't know if they knew that Natasha was going to be there going into this. The other widows. And it's like we can just see like how strong Yelena and or Natasha are. It's because of how many that Dracov sent to kill them. I actually think that maybe they had orders to not kill Natasha just because, Dracov did not want to kill an Avenger. As Zemo said, more powerful than men than me had tried. This, for me, like, the trafficking scene at the beginning was intense, but this one is like, oh, this is like a suicide. But not even really. I mean, this is not the first suicide in the MCU, because there was that guy in the first Captain America movie who had the cyanide pill, but he was like a Nazi. Like, he was like clearly evil. But this widow right here, we did not know if, she was just like, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this. You could hear her voice break. Like, even after she's dead, like, you can see the fear in her eyes about what was about to happen. So, you know, this for me was like, oh, wow, this is intense. This, theatrical experience for me was, actually not that great, if I'm being honest. I don't know, I expected some more applause, just more energy. I mean, it was opening night of the first Marvel film in 2 years. Over 2 years, by like a couple days. My brother brought a friend. He was crinkling a popcorn bag for the first 90 minutes. Really took me out of the movie. Like, this movie, we were honestly, I didn't feel like I was in the movie. I felt like I was, like, a person in a theater watching a movie. Which is never a good sign. That just proved the movie's totally unbelievable. But on subsequent viewings, I've absolutely felt that. I've absolutely felt just loving this, the story, this, these characters, all of it. Just unseal it. It's me that this movie really does feel like it's a Captain America spinoff, especially of the two Russo Cap films with the Winter Soldier and Civil War. Just because the Winter Soldier was dark, Civil War was darker. This movie is like way more than that. There were rumors about this being R. I did not think that. I thought it was too soon for an MCU R-rated movie. Which, I mean, I think the first one's going to be Blade. And then a few months after that, we're going to get Deadpool 3, which has been confirmed to be rated R. I don't think that those two are movies were like, are going to be important to watch. Like, I honestly feel like Deadpool 3 is being made out of obligation. I do hope they have a great story. I think I love the first two Deadpools. I think the third one's going to be fantastic, especially because it's, like, Ryan Reynolds. Like, I do love they're just keeping this creative team. Well, I think it was a different creative team between the first two. So I guess it's a different creative team. But it's still Reynolds there. He is a producer on this movie. So, you know, I of course I'm going to be absolutely excited for Deadpool 3. But these just... if it's an R-rated movie, I don't see it ever tying in some huge way. It's going to feel more like a side story. Just world building. And I almost wonder if they'll make Blade just be like a little bit rated R. Just like one beheading or something. But I don't know, I'd rather them just, like, Deadpool is not a movie that's kind of a little bit rated R. Like, no, Deadpool is super, super R. I just love the shot. Just like how cinematic the Taskmaster is. That's why I love the character in this movie. I don't even love the character. I think the character's kind of weak. Okay, how does a shield do that? Like, it's not vibranium. Like, Steve does it, but Steve has Stark Tech attached to it, so it's different. I love how at this point in the MCU, like, just the civilians are like, another one? Okay. Just, like, people are just only a little bit discriminating. Like, no one's, like, running away like they were in the first Avengers movie. It's not... I feel like this sort of a thing is, like... I mean, in Infinity War, it's, like... Here's a spaceship, and everyone's like, oh my god, look at the spaceship. What's the matter with you kids? Never seen a spaceship before? I mean, they live in New York. It's an alien invasion. The truth really makes sense. You omit key details. We do get the voice of Jeremy Renner in this movie, and we do get to see his picture at the end, so he's almost in this. I'd say that Barton is almost in this movie, because we hear his voice. On radio, he has got two lines, and we see his picture in the post-credit scene. But yeah, I will say, like, I'm seriously excited for Hawkeye now. Like, Hawkeye and Black Widow were the two where I was like, okay, more content to cover. Like, that these, like, even just, like, going in to this movie... Like, even just the day before I saw it, I was still not that excited. Mostly because I was still talking, because we were still talking about the fifth episode of Loki over on another Marvel podcast. But these are just movies that, you know, it's a prequel. We know where the character is. This, I feel, is the first prequel film in the MCU. Of course, we have the first Avenger and Captain Marvel, which take place long before the first Iron Man. Ant-Man and the Wasp is before Infinity War. It's technically a prequel, but... Like, this is the first time where we've seen a character, right? We've seen her in previous films that take place before this. We know what they do after this. It's just, like, right the middle of their story. So, yeah, I hope this is something that they keep doing, because I think that really worked here. It really, really worked. Although I do feel like this is a movie that really does suffer from sort of the same things that other prequels suffer from. I don't know. I honestly don't think this is a problem in, like, the Star Wars prequels, like the prequel trilogy, Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith. But more of Solo and Rogue One. Our movies where they're like Rogue One, you guys know is my favorite Star Wars movie. I love this scene so much. Apparently this is Florence, this is something that Florence Pugh noticed, and they loved it so much they put it in the script. But yeah, it's but just like Rogue One, all right, so spoilers for Rogue One and Solo. Slight spoilers. Like, you see R2 and 3PO in Rogue One for, like, 3 seconds, and it's not really that important. They just... Oh, they're going to Scarif. No one tells me anything, R2. No, that's a little reference. You got the Ponda Baba guy and, Jedi, and he's like, you'll just watch yourself. We have wanted men. You know, same thing he said to Luke in New Hope. And Solo, it's a bit more, because it's just, like, your name is Han Solo. You know, it's just like we see, here's how he got his ship. Here's how he got his name. Here's how he got his blaster. Here's how he got the little notch in his ship. Where this movie's got a bit of that toward the end. With the vest and the hair and the super jet. But really, like, that is stuff that, like, it's the obvious answer to a question no one was asking. Like, this is a prequel done completely right. And that being said, you know, you guys know I love Rogue One. I love Solo. Black Widow is a prequel done entirely the right way. Were we asking how she got her hair color? Were we asking how she got her vest? No. But the hair color, obviously, she just dyed her hair. That's obvious. We see the after effects of it in this movie. The vest gets a bit more meaning behind it now, because it belonged to her sister and it has a lot of pockets. That has more meaning to us now. And I'm excited to go back and rewatch Infinity War and Endgame now. Just more Infinity War than Endgame, but yeah. This is something I don't like this movie. No one's even looking for him thanks to you and Alexi. What does that mean? Like, Alexi, what did he do? Did he help Natasha take down Dreykov? Clearly not, because when they free him and he's asking about Captain America, she's like, you haven't seen either one of us in 20 years, and you're going to ask me about you. So what did he do? Did he do something on his own? We don't know. Like, maybe, like, did he speak out against it? Like, this is a question I need to answer, because it does not, that line does not make sense in the context of this film right now. And being said, I do love this scene. Just when Yelena is telling Natasha what she tells people about her sister. No, I love that so much. No, of course actors do use their own, like, when you, I've heard, like, when you sign on to a role, and when I have done, like, plays and things, like, I do, of course, go through and I just, like, think about where these characters came from. I wonder how much of that, like, Feige took into account. Like, did he ask, like, when Scarlett Johansson was cast as Natasha in Iron Man 2? Did he ask her, like, what's your backstory? Let's do this together, and then, like, we'll just put a little line in about Dreykov's daughter here in Avengers, we'll have a little flashback in Age of Ultron, and then here we go with this Black Widow movie. Now, this right here is a feel of the movie really picks up speed. It takes, like, 45 minutes, takes about a half hour after the opening credits to really get going. And then this is where the movie gets really, really good for me. Top drawer, Green Cabinet. I love this scene so much, rather than just the best. Is that like a... Is that army surplus? It has a lot of pockets. And this is true, like, they've never had control of their own lives. And this is truly, I feel, the first time Natasha's ever really had control over her own life. Which is, I feel, why maybe she went against, a canonical reason for why she went against the Accords. She realized she wanted to have full control over her own life. So she's like, you can fit a lot of stuff in these pockets. I'm sure she could fit some paperweights in those pockets. Loki reference. First episode. Not made of jets. That should must be the best, like a real pro. Impugning my professionalism. Sensitive. This is so much fun. Just like, stashed it like 5 years ago. Well, that would actually be around the same time as Iron Man 2. His Fury's Big Week, Iron Man 2, Thor, and Incredible Hulk were all set in 2011. So yeah, that would be around the time of Iron Man 2. A very annoying individual. Yeah, seriously, I do hope we see some more Mason. Here we go. Here's Alexei. I have seen the nuclear code, but there he is. Captain America. So this story, I think, is telling, like, you know, David Harbour said, like, okay, how are you getting a tattoo at the same time you're doing arm wrestling? That's not how tattoos work. But I think the story that he's telling, David Harbour said that it's completely true. It's completely true. I do also love, just, you can see that he's got the two roses on his right shoulder. The two names beneath them translate to Natasha and Yelena, which is just so beautiful, I think. I think the story, though, is, you know, we know that C went back in time. There could have been, he could have had a run-in with the Red Guardian. You know? You know what? Here, maybe, here's what happened. If Natasha did somehow survive Vormir, if there is, like, a return policy on the Soul Stone, I don't think there is. I think that Natasha's dead. I think that, like, if this movie ended with her, like, whistling back to Yelena, I seriously would not have liked it at all. I would have hated this movie. It's gotta have death matter, or else what are we doing? What are we even doing? You know, Loki and Coulson, it's fine, because it's a gimmick of how many times they die. But anyway, Cap gets to Vormir, right? He somehow gets Natasha back, and then he's like, alright, I'm going back in time to live with Peggy, and she's like, wait, no, here's what you gotta do. Go fight the Red Guardian in the 80s. I think that would be so, so great if that is what ended up happening. Yeah, I really love this character. And I do hope we see him again. I do really hope we see him again. And there is also the possibility that, like, he was fighting either Bucky or Isaiah Bradley, but Isaiah didn't have a shield. You know, that could be just be something that Alexei had. Because we still don't know, like, the full context of the mission that that he went on to free his fellow soldiers that he was, of course, arrested for. So we don't really know if that could be him. But I think it's very possible that could be Isaiah Bradley as well. The Red Guardian is escaping. I really hope that we see the Winter Guard in the MCU. Like, we got the mention of Crimson Dynamo in this movie, but that was more of just a just like a joke. Mention of Crimson Dynamo, but I was still like, when I heard that in theater, I'm like, oh, That's the thing. That's the guy. That's the person who did the thing. Yeah. Really love this like super serum thing. Just like made a joke on the podcast with Alex for another Marvel podcast for like 2 hour review of this movie, and it was like like he was like, how could he not get the suit on because the super strength should allow him to do it? I'm like, well, because it would hurt. He's like, yeah, but it doesn't really make sense. I'm like, all right, well, maybe it's like there's like the Russian eBay and stuff, like maybe the Russian serum really just goes away after a little bit. Of course, you'll see me like just jumping around, I'm doing all the arm wrestling in 2016. That, like, Yelena has, like, no idea what she's supposed to be doing with the helicopter. I think it's really funny. What are you doing? Are you kidding me? Back up. Like, that just feels like sort of just, like, a mom moment for Natasha. Because I do get the sense, you know, just, like, when they were in the Red Room together, like, Natasha really just, like, protected Yelena and was, like, a mother to her. So I think there are a couple moments in this movie where you really get to, like, see that relationship. And I love that so much. This would be a cool way to die. Maybe. I honestly think, like, you know, like, suffocation is one of the worst ways to go, but whatever. Love this sequence right here. Just I also love the music here also. I think the music here is very, very good. Score on Spotify, it's, you know, it's, there's now track on in the soundtrack called Prison Break. Unfortunately, there's no track on the album called Prison Break, which, you know, I'm still trying to find. I'm still, like, making my way through the score. Love that line. Just, wait! I think, yeah. David Harbour is one of the, is probably the best part of this movie. He's so funny. Should he yelled at them? It's so funny. It's so, so good. It's so pretty. Oh, you can't hear me, yeah. Okay. I do love that this is more, that this movie really just, like, it doesn't, it just talks about, like, your period just, like, so, casually. I feel like that's a big step, just, like, you just can't, it's not something you ever talk about, but, you know, it's just something that I feel, first time a man, I don't have my period, but I feel that, you know, just, I think it's very important to, like, just be able to talk about it and stuff. This is Natasha, indoctrinating the Western agenda. Family, where are they now? Where is that family now? I love this delivery right here. I have no idea. Just love that line so much. He has so many great moments in this movie. Like, a lot, like, people are saying, like, you know, the race and the sexist, but mostly the sexist are just saying, like, this is a movie that's so anti-man because they're all male villains. You know, I was listening to a podcast, and, like, they were saying, like, you know, okay, well, do you want me to name every movie that has all male villains? There's The Dark Knight. There's one female character in The Dark Knight. And she's a damsel in distress who dies. Oh, I just love this line here. Maybe, you know, I want the party to actually feel like a party. But, you know, and just also this thing right here with, I'm just saying, like, he did not want to do the job where he had to be the dad for 3 years. But anyway, like, are you going to say that The Dark Knight is anti-man because all the villains are males? So, like, that's just, no. I love this movie. I absolutely love Black Widow. And, you know, it's also not anti-man. Like, I mean, they gave all the best lines to David Harbour. He got all the best moments in this movie, in my opinion. All the best jokes. It's mostly it. Just, like, all the best, like, one-liners that you're gonna quote and stuff. Like, it all went to him. No, we're good, we'll make it. And then it just falls from the sky. Should have brought the Avengers super jet. Natasha, come here, I want to ask you something. Trading war stories. Captain America. Like a contemporary, now co-equal. Just with this tension. It's just so funny. Except that one moment, it's like, I only ever loved you girls. I feel like sort of the accent sort of just slips away there, and he goes back into to Hopper mode. Which, yeah, we never talk about that stuff. Having that, all this stuff with Stranger Things, just like, because season 3 is, well, spoilers for Stranger Things season 3. The season ended, and he was in a Russian prison. You know, and of course, in the Black Widow trailer comes out, and he's the Red Guardian. So it's like, oh man, is it? It probably is. Of course not. And of course, his name is Alexei. Alexei was a Russian character in Stranger Things 3. Couldn't be more proud of you. Mikhail, you look at me now, you smile really bad. And Yelena's still like the little kid with the whole are we there yet thing. And then, come where it's safe. She's just a giant sniper on her farm. I just really want to know, like, more about, and, you know, Feige's the president, he's like, he was just the president of Marvel Studios, but now he's the president of everything for Marvel. Marvel Games, Marvel Comics, all of it. So, I do think it's very possible we could be seeing some more, like, Marvel Studios comic books from Marvel Studios. Just, like, seeing sort of some of these, like, one-shots and things in comic form. I would love that. We would absolutely cover those on the podcast. It's like character backstories and things. Like a Yelena comic, or a Red Guardian and Melina comic. Of course, she has this whole room full of weaponry. Love the scenery here with David Harbour, you didn't raise us at all. You're just putting on the suit. Just putting on the suit. There's just all this awkward conversation. They're just sitting there about to drink. Still fits. I never washed it once. It's kind of a gross movie. You know, just the Russian stuff with the pigs. I don't know. Back together. Okay, reunion then, huh? It's the day they staged our marriage. You got fat.
Good at the prison, I have a lot of energy.
And I also do like how they're still just like acting like the parents, even though they're not. It's like you told them. You could stipulate to catch Santa Claus. It was fun, you know. He come down the chimney, girls look out, where is he? Wait for him, and when the cookies are gone, then you see he's there. Love that. Just, it doesn't even matter to the story, it's just funny. Just opened the door. Good boy, Alex.
You'll name that pig after me. Soldier Project. The Basil Gang.
This is such a strange family. It's funny. I never honestly liked Melinda that much. I don't think that she is... I think of the characters, she is the weakest. Of the hero characters, she's definitely not the weakest character in this film. Don't argue them. It's only ideology. I thought I think the family stuff in this movie just works so incredibly well.
Never family, my heart. I'm a simple man.
And think for a couple deep undercover Russian agents, I think we did pretty great as parents. I actually think that, the family stuff is just so, so strong here.
It was me.
Florence Pugh, she is such a great actress, and I still feel like this is Natasha's movie. I don't ever once feel like Florence Pugh is the star. I always feel like it's Scarlett Johansson. I do, though, think, you know, this movie is very clearly setting up for more for the Yelena character. No, like, he's like, I'll go talk to her. He takes the helmet with him. Of course, we're going to see Yelena and Hawkeye, and we don't know if she'll survive. I assume that she will, because we do need Black Widow in the MCU. Like, Phase 4 is all about new beginnings. Anyways, I don't want to talk. Okay. I was half expecting, like, sort of this bed to just, like, the leg of the bed to just kind of collapse under his weight. I'm glad it didn't. I felt that would have been more like a cartoon. And, you know, this is something right here that does feel a lot like the, Zola's algorithm that we see in The Winter Soldier, that movie. No, like, it just does feel so much like that. And the Vertigo Room does feel like just Hydra Light, Diet Hydra, Hydra Zero, like whatever you want to call it. It just doesn't feel like super original. No, and I do think that maybe this movie coming right after to Fetus is sort of, the Falcon Soldier is just sort of like with the super soldiers and everything. Just like, because I did watch Civil War, and right after that, not right after that, but a couple days after that was when Falcon Winter Soldier started, and it just kind of felt like, oh, they're doing the super serum thing again. Of course, the real world's been 5 years, just feels sooner because, you know, the movie. And then, but in-universe, it's been like 8 years. And this movie coming out, like, right after Falcon and the Winter Soldier ended by a couple, maybe, like, a month or so. No, 2 months. It was, like, it was pretty much the same time gap between, Endgame and Far From Home, or Infinity War and Ant-Man 2. Like the third room 4 times before you've been born. That's, I don't know how anyone could survive that. Just born in a cage. I do feel like, I mean, right here that Natasha's starting to get some closure with Melina. At the same time, Alexei is starting to get the closure with Yelena. So, having them together, I feel fits very, very well. There's a reason why I'm telling you this, okay? Trust me. I'm reaching for fish. Oh, I lose balance. Ah. Splash. My hands go in the river. In this weather, frostbite set in quick. My father, he go toilet on my hands. Urine is 35 degrees Celsius, staves off the frostbite. You know, fathers. love that so much. Just this room, you know, fathers. Oh my god, the humor here works so well. Just feels all like Ragnarok. That makes sense. Both movies were written by Eric Pearson. But I think for Ragnarok, like, he only wrote the serious scenes and stuff that happened in other scenes, because, like, he wanted the actors to really just get that freedom. And I don't feel like the same kind of movie. Definitely not the same kind of movie. The Crimson Dynamo, no one's here, but it's the Red Guardian. I didn't know I needed this scene right here. This scene where he's about to start singing. I didn't know I needed that, but I do. Remember, if I cried when I read the bathroom. I love it so much. It's so good. No, this scene right here is where I thought that Alexa didn't die in this movie. I thought that he was gonna die here. Drinking whiskey. This would be the day. The Red Room. I love this moment also. Just like the one dart goes in. And then it's like, they think that can stop me. And then just like 15 of them go in. Just, it's great. They think. And there's Taskmaster again. Of course, now they have a plan. We know now that is Melina with the face mask, and this right here is Natasha. With the face mask, of course. Here we go to the Red Room. Like this one, like how has no one seen the Red Room before? How has no one seen it before? That's another thing. Is it like its own thing? Is it a part of the KGB? Because in the Winter Soldier, Natasha said that she just traded in the KGB for Hydra. So, like, is it its own thing? Are they aligned with the KGB? I don't think we know. Just think about the obvious. The KGB will wait for no one. Red Room. super creepy. It's like it's all in unison. Can just see that how just absolutely terrified Natasha is that she's about to go see Dracov. No, it was different. One thing, like, the last names, how did the last name thing happen? With Natasha Romanoff, Yelena Belova, and how did they even get names? Like, it is something that is, are these names that are assigned to them? I'm kind of just a little bit confused on that front. This is a much less cool way to die. No blood. She had nothing. Give her home. Give her love. Chemicals. Avenger. Like, Ray Winstone here is doing an absolutely fantastic job. Portraying this piece of filth. I've heard that the actor is a super nice dude, though, and he's absolutely nothing. Could not be more different from Dracov. Come save us. No, I thought I was being very brave. Possibly the bravest, but I wasn't being brave. I was a coward. Cuba. They came and took you away from me. No cause was worth that. You should only sacrifice yourself for something. What? I put my soul to it and it was just you the whole time. Keep her awake for the cranial incisions. There wasn't time. Okay, girls, I'm having trouble hearing you. But Natasha, there's something I need you to know. You know that? I'm sorry. No more excuses, okay? I gave my life for a cause that I was being brave. It was not your piece. The Ocean's 11 flashback right here is great. Problem. This movie that really just, it does suffer from a little bit of shaky cam, but not a ton. There's not a ton of shaky cam in this movie. Which I do enjoy. I don't like shaky cam. I prefer the Matrix, you know, just version of just like long takes from far away where you can truly see the action. No, it's not like Taken where you need 20 shots for climbing a fence. This should have haunted past. So here we go. Here's the big twist with Antonia. I honestly think this is the only real spoiler this movie has is who Taskmaster is. Feels sort of same with Black Panther movie. I did not really feel there were any real spoilers for. Perfect mimic. I do love this whole thing with Durekov's daughter. I do think it works very, very well for the story. Again, not terribly well, but enough. It's still not even all that compelling, but. Yeah, I don't know. I think that some of these villains could have been much, much stronger. Something with the pheromone is just so interesting. There's a for the monologue. Yeah, if you are someone who, if this is only your second time seeing this movie, or you're just listening, this is a regular podcast and you've just seen it once, please do watch this movie again. It truly does improve so much from multiple viewings. Again, you know, this is my eighth time watching this movie, and each time I love it more and more. You know, just this movie is, but the Black Panther clause. I mean, if this is the last time that we. Damn it. He can't get any closure with anybody unless he's seeing the American Pie. And I think it's so great. I love this is one of my favorite scenes of the movie. Just Yelena does the pose. Oh, and that was disgusting. I love it so much. I love it just so much. Yeah, I do really hope that she becomes a big part of the MCU moving forward. If we sort of get more of these, you know, I don't want to call them Walker is not a fake Captain America. He's a U.S. agent. Like, Yelena is not a fake Black Widow. But I would say that she is a successor to Black Widow. And Natasha and Walker was definitely a successor to Steve. Of course, the ultimate successor was Sam, and we, that's what we now have in the MCU. But yeah, just having Yelena and Walker already working for Valentina. You know, who else could we get? I am very excited. Let's just see who else is a member of the Thunderbolts in the comics. Thunderbolts. Members were Thunderbolts members. Here we go. Well, there's Zemo. There's Barton. So the people we have in the MCU. Oh yeah, you don't hit Black Widow. You do not hit Scarlett Johansson. No. You don't do that. Never. Yeah. So Natasha. So Yelena is a member of Thunderbolts. There's Ghost. Also, we've seen her in Ant-Man and the Wasp. That could be something that happens in Ant-Man Quantumania a couple of years. Crossbones. Of course, he's dead right now, I think. Yeah, he did die at the beginning of Civil War. Of course, Deadpool. Remember Thunderbolts. Elektra, Punisher, Red Hulk. Ghost Rider. Bucky. No U.S. agent? Hang on. U.S. agent. So, yeah, just, trying to find out. I'd assume he's part of the team. Of course, he will be in the, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But yeah, here's a more of a Spider-Man move right there. Here's your this Taskmaster as the Winter Soldier. Yeah, I think we're going to be seeing sort of the Thunderbolts rise. We started to see that in Falcon and Soldier. We're seeing it again here in Black Widow. I think maybe in Shang-Chi. You know, again, same thing in the underworld. Sort of more of this, like, down earth gritty stuff. And it does seem like we can maybe. Of course, Abomination is going to be in the Shang-Chi movie. And that's going to be a connection that that has with the She-Hulk show next year on Disney Plus. So, yeah, just all these things. Like, we're getting so many storylines in the MCU right now. Like, we're getting two big ones. We have this multiverse arc that we were seeing in WandaVision, Loki, we're going to see it continue in What If and Spider-Man No Way Home this year. And of course, it's all going to conclude in Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness. And I think we can see the after effects of that in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. And then, of course, you're also in this more, like, down-to-earth, gritty, spy world in Falcon Soldier and Black Widow. Maybe a little bit here in Shang-Chi and Legend of the Ten Rings, and Hawkeye for sure. Definitely in Hawkeye. She-Hulk, of course, Hulk's that Thunderbolt Ross. I think he will definitely become the Red Hulk in that series, and then we're going to be seeing the true formation of the Thunderbolts. And then Moon Knight, there's Armor Wars, probably. So I feel like Armor War is going to be sort of like a sequel to the Falcon Winter Soldier. Like, a lot of the story threads that were started in Falcon Winter Soldier are going to continue in Armor Wars. Of course, we also saw Rhodey in the first episode of Falcon Winter Soldier. Don Cheadle in the show. I wonder, like, how they're really doing the script stuff now. Because, of course, with Infinity War and Endgame, there were fake scripts. Actors only got their scenes. And I wonder if, like, I feel like for a movie like this, like, actors are only getting, like, they're probably, for Black Widow, I'd assume, like, everyone got the full script. But I love this right here. Yelena, slight change of plan to complete demolish when the engines were going into controlled crash. But what about the, like the shows, did Don Cheadle get all six scripts for the Falcon Lunar Soldier, or did he just get the pilot episode, or, you know, did he just get his scene? I do hope it's just the scenes, because I don't want things spoiled. This Red Guardian and Taskmaster fight, I love it. Sort of Hulk punch right there. From Taskmaster. Nobody leaves this room until she's dead. Make her suffer. Yeah, this is really, I feel like, some of the only, and even here, just like, the action is so easy to follow because there's not all these jump cuts. It's, can clearly see what's happening. There's only a little bit, there's not that much shaky cam, if any. Yeah, I've been seeing so much, and I don't want to sound like I'm just saying the same stuff over and over, but I love this movie. Love this movie so much. No, and I'm, once the Loki finale is out tomorrow, I'm going to be doing full rewatch, chronological rewatch of the MCU. Just because it got like there's about 4 weeks between the Loki finale and What If starting. There's 24 films and 3 seasons of TV. But it really is just like 1 season of TV just because they're short seasons. So it's like 21 episodes between WandaVision season 1, the Falcon Winter Soldier season 1, and the first season of Loki. And I do think that WandaVision is just going to be 1 season. Do we actually, speaking of WandaVision, I know that the Emmy stuff is going to be announced today. Our Emmys announced nominations list. All right. And, like, here's the thing. Like, they don't have a S.H.I.E.L.D. to go to. There's no S.H.I.E.L.D. in the MCU right now. Well, actually, maybe. No. No, there's no S.H.I.E.L.D. in the MCU right now. I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Tis not canon. Okay, nominations are gonna be announced in like an hour. So yeah, I'm not gonna be recording this podcast in 1 hour. We're gonna be done in maybe 30 minutes. Yeah, definitely 30 minutes we're gonna be done with the show. I really hope that WandaVision, you know, is getting the love. I really think that show is going to be, that show is absolutely fantastic. I absolutely love WandaVision. So, I do hope that that is one that really shines in the limited series category. And hopefully, you know, season 2 of The Mandalorian and The Falcon and the Winter Soldier get some love also in drama series. And next year, you know, there's going to be Loki, because that show came out a bit too late to make the Emmys this year. Really hope that Loki gets some nominations for comedy or drama. I think that Loki is by far, you know, there's still one more episode, so it could absolutely go downhill from here. But just Loki already is the strongest of the three shows. There's still one episode left. I'm trying to find the moment where Melina gets injured. I don't think they show it, because at the end of the movie, she's like, I'm clearly injured. But, they don't actually show that in the movie, I don't think. Does he have his shield, or what? Let's use his shield here for Alexi. That's the Taskmaster shield. You know, Natasha finds Tony in the cell. And just this scene right here, I really love. You can just sort of feel the, and just really just sort of sense that fear in Natasha's face when she frees Taskmaster. Love that. You know, as a little play on the twist of the Rebel Force radio podcast, it's not a Marvel movie. Well, not really a twist, but just their one of their catchphrases. It's not a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie until you've seen it 500 times. You know, I'm at 8 for Black Widow, so we'll see. There's a lot of movies. This is the 24th movie in the MCU. 24 films. There are 10 more movies in Phase 4. 10 more movies. You got, it's mid-July, right? The year is almost half. The year is, like, we are now in the second half of the year. Black Widow did not come out until, like, early second half of 2021. There are still 3 more MCU movies this year. We still have the Loki finale, and we still have 3 full shows after this. And we also have Venom 2 in September, which you guys can bet that we will be covering on another Marvel podcast. We will absolutely be covering Let There Be Carnage, because it is a Marvel podcast. And anything new based on a Marvel comic, we cover it. Yeah, I really hope they continue this premiere access thing for the movies, just because I know that there's some stuff in the works. I would not be able to see Multiverse of Madness or Black Panther Wakanda Forever right away. And I would like to see those on Disney Plus. Because, like, this movie made $60 million on Disney Plus in the first 2 days. So, I absolutely think that we will at least see Shang-Chi on Disney Plus Premier Access. And honestly, what they might do is they might just, like, jack up the price on Disney Plus. To, like, I mean, we have a family of 5, so, like, it's myself, I got a brother, a sister, and 2 parents, so, like, for all of us, I mean, the last movie all 5 of us saw together was The Rise of Skywalker, back in December 2019. $100, for just the tickets. So, like, $50, the 4 tickets that I bought for, my mom, myself, my brother and sister. Of course, my sister couldn't go, and we brought a friend. My dad was out of town that weekend. But, like, that was $54. And then on snacks on top of that was, like, $70. You know, just one viewing. So even making, like, these, like, premiere access movies $50, you know, being able to watch them as many times as you want, that still is a great deal. This right here is, love this scene. Reminds me a lot of the beginning of Civil War with the toxic gas that Crossbones is stealing. You know what I thought they, what I think they might do is, well, so let's, so, you know, Shang-Chi comes out September 3rd, right? It's on Disney Plus Premier Access for $50. September 17th. That's 2 weeks after that. October 1st, 2 weeks after that, the price is brought down from $50 to $40. All right? October 15th, 2 weeks later, from $40 to $30. And, you know, it just keeps going on my $10 every 2 weeks until eventually it's just free for all subscribers. I think that would be a very, you know, Disney's listening, you guys can have that idea for free. You guys can take that idea. little sister. It's real to me too. I love that line. Love that line. But I mean, like, you're living with these people. You're calling each other mom and dad and sister, daughter. How does it not become real? It's 3 years. That's something to say. And he finally gets his chance to say it, and he doesn't say it. I don't like that. I don't like that. But I feel like them just holding hands there. She understands everything that he was going to say. Didn't send them to fight with you. You're so pig-headed. Pockets. That is, I think, what's going to be in Black Widow 2. I think Black Widow 2 is going to be another prequel movie. Maybe. Yeah, like, this is Natasha's movie. But if, you know, we get a Black Widow trilogy, it's going to be Yelena's trilogy. She's introduced here. She comes to the forefront in Black Widow 2 and in Black Widow 3. That's what I think. I also don't know really how I feel about, like, Captain America 4. I love this moment here, just the whistling. That callback. You know, I'd almost rather see a season 2 of Falcon and Winter Soldier, just getting... I also really hate that the show... And then it was like Captain America and the Winter Soldier, and not Captain America and the White Wolf. So, I don't know. It's fine. The show's over. The show was great. Not as good as WandaVision or Loki, but it was still a great show. Still a great show. I still give it like a 9 out of 10. When the first credit scene, just like Incredible Hulk, is right after the movie. Because we got those opening credits at the beginning of the film. So, I think when we renew the second credit scene, because I know that there are going to be people who are watching this in theaters, what we're going to do is basically just do, trying to think. Alright, so the same thing. Like, if you're watching Disney Plus, you are going to just skip to the end credits, just before the credit scene. I'll give you guys a time code. I'll do the go thing again. We're just gonna do go. And this will be a pause, the podcast to the credit scene. But yeah, then it'll just be, There's the jet. There it is. There's the jet. Here's this look that she has in Infinity War, which I do like. And there's also the thing, like, how did she get away from Ross? I think, like, she just gave him the information. And I think that Ross would take that deal. Ross would take that deal. Like, I give you this information, you give me 24 hours. Alright, you guys, after 24 hours, you guys can hunt me. Hunt me. That's what I think. I think that's what it is. But yeah, what we're gonna do with the credits is just skip to the end. If we're watching in theaters, just, when I say go, you know, just pause the podcast until you see the first frame of the second credit scene, then just hit play. This is what we're gonna do. The Forest Stars. Just the beginning of the movie, now it's the end. Beautiful shot. This movie has some great cinematography. Alright. Now, I'm going to skip to the credits scene. I will, those watching on Disney Plus, I will give you guys a time code to skip to. Alright, we're going to the first frame when we see the credits. Alright, for those watching on Disney Plus, go to 2 hours, 11 minutes, and 12 seconds in. You guys can pause the podcast until you're there. I'm assuming you're there now. So, yeah. For those listening in a movie theater, I'm just gonna count down from 3 and say go. If you're watching on Disney Plus, you are going to hit play on the movie. If you are listening in a theater, you are gonna pause the podcast until you see the first frame of the credit scene. So 3, 2, 1, go. So this is present MCU, and Yelena did say that she wanted a dog. I'm very glad she did get the dog. Named Fanny. How does she know about that, though? I wonder if that could be a name that Mason also used for Yelena. Here we go, present day. Natasha Romanoff. Daughter, sister, Avenger. I do know that they talked about, I don't know if they ever shot it, but just, they did discuss having, when Yelena whistles, to have Natasha whistle back. Or someone whistle back. I'm very glad they did not do that. I was saying, you know, just going to this movie, I would be so mad if this ended and it was like, Natasha was a Skrull in Infinity War and she's still alive. And just cheapen everything in Endgame. Cheapen all the stakes. Of course, here we go. Our first major crossover between Disney Plus and Netflix. And the movie is not Netflix. Julia Louis-Dreyfus as Valentina. She first showed up. Literally the Midwest. Like the joke, it's true. I live in the Midwest. I can say that. But having the, she was supposed to debut in this movie first. Because this movie's been locked. Like, they've had this final cut ready since, like, May of last year. Because they did replace the, composer. They replaced Alexander Duplau with Lauren Balfe. But I want to hear what Duplau did, because I don't really feel like the score here was as strong as it could have been. Anyway, she was supposed to debut first in Black Widow and then be a connection to Falcon and Winter Soldier, but of course that did not happen. She debuted first in Falcon and Soldier, which I love more because that continuity there. So yeah, she's hunting Clint, and I am now just actually like legitimately excited for Hawkeye this year. Like, this was never one I was excited for, as I said, like. It's going to happen. We're going to get a Hawkeye series at the end of the year. So yeah, I am very excited, guys, for Future of the MCU. This podcast, this is a podcast that is going to be more sporadic. It's not going to be like every other week. It's going to be sometimes. You know, I do know that next month there's going to be Iron Man 3. We're finally going to do Iron Man 3. And I do hope that they do premiere access for the other movies, because then we will be able to do Shang-Chi, Eternals, maybe No Way Home, because there is that deal in place for No Way Home on Disney Plus, as well as all Sony films. So I'm not sure if that'll be one that goes to premiere access, but maybe one that will maybe stream on Disney Plus like a month later. Or it'll go to digital, like, immediately. But I don't know. I don't know if Sony's done any movies, really, since COVID. Is Sony theatrical films? All right, well, that's going to be it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. A lot of other podcasts right now. There's I'm covering Rick and Morty Season 5 on The Average Binger. I'm about to go record the most recent episode of the podcast for that. Episode 4, Rick Dependent Spray. There's, of course, another Marvel podcast where I'll be dropping this episode also. We're covering, tomorrow night. We've got the season finale of Loki. We got Loki Live, our live show on YouTube around 7:30, 8 p.m. Central Time. Not entirely sure when it's gonna be. But yeah. So, and Tusken Radio is where we are covering Star Wars The Bad Batch on Disney Plus, which has been super awesome. So yeah, thank you guys just so much for listening to this show. Be back very, very soon with another episode. See you, everyone. Thank you again for sticking with this show.